to say yes to your being. It's so powerful, this. You know? Don't say, what am I saying yes to exactly? No. Something, an intuition is inside that really understands this type of thing. But it doesn't understand it just conceptually. It understands it beyond concept. It's a very pure thing, you know. You're saying yes to existence, saying yes to your truth, which is closer than intimacy. Means inseparable. So when I say hold on to the being, I want to know if you really understand what it means, you know. When I say understand, I don't mean here understanding in the mind, but really understand intuitively. There's a sense about it, you see. It is like a mother having a new baby, and she brings the child up to the breast for the first time. She doesn't have to teach it how to suckle. Something primal in us. So when I say hold on to the being, something primal in you must know what it means. You know? There is no technique about something like that, because it's so innocent and it's so natural. It's all on all into your being. And something appreciates that aspect within ourselves, this indefinable, appreciates this type of statement, hold on all into your being. It means that all the noise of the mind and the thoughts, they're coming and going. Yeah? They're kind of drifting through the space of consciousness like clouds passing in that infinite sky. And some are moving very fast, but it says hold on only to your being. And then what is the inner response to this advice, you see? It means don't pay attention to this. Don't follow those thoughts of clouds, those cloud thoughts. Let them happen. But sometimes when you have a sense of who you are, a context for your being, then somehow it produces more kind of attractiveness to the concepts. Because the personality, the ego, uses concepts to build and construct identity. But not so for the consciousness. The consciousness doesn't need to construct any identity. So it can make use of thought, but it won't be intimidated by thought. It understands thoughts just like the clouds. The clouds are part of the sky, but no cloud can stay. You cannot fall in love with a cloud and say, will you come back tomorrow and see? It just won't happen. So thoughts are like this in the conscious mind. It doesn't have any appointment with any thought. They come and go. They appreciate it in the moment, and then when they go, they go. But when you have an identity, it's like you create a relationship, you see. And then the thoughts become seasonal. They come around, keep coming around. Because they receive food last time around, somehow it seems to come. So hold on only to the beingness. Hold on only to your being. Nobody can describe this. Leave everything to be. Leave all the thoughts. Leave all the feelings. Because your attention with the feeling, your identity with the feelings, energizes them. And they become much bigger. It magnifies the feeling. And then you have to deal with that magnification. But when I say hold on to your being, there's space in that. You simply, it's almost like you let go without letting go. Holding on to the being means you let go without fingers. It's like it somehow doesn't have any hold on. Just you are. The human being has two aspects. There's the being and the becoming. There's the beingness and the becomingness. The becomingness is a strong aspect of the mind. The beingness is aspect of the consciousness. It means what is. The mind is what can be. It's a potential of becomingness. So, you see, when I say hold on to the being, everything is abandoned. Where do you have to move to hold on to your being? Nowhere at all. It means somehow leave everything to be. Let them move about. Don't manage, don't control, don't manipulate. Don't search for any position. Stay as you are. at a certain time, you will not need lots of advice about anything. In fact, you don't. Your beingness doesn't really need it. Only a little reminding, not even teaching, just reminding. No, but you're not that. All this idea about making strenuous practices to become what you are is all the mind's invention. It's not true. But if you believe it, then you believe it into existence, and then you have to struggle in that world to kind of fulfill those concepts or to defeat them. That would be your option. But as the self, who needs option? And you see how simple it is, how simple the world can change. From the position of being someone living life to that which just is, in which life play. Just a twist of attention, and what a big difference. From being in a suffering state to being in the eternally pure and untouched state. What distance will be traveled? I say only the distance of the thought, nothing more. Such is the power of thought. But thought only have power with belief. Without belief, thought is nothing. No, just possibilities. So these are really fundamental reminders, observations, that when we pay attention just to these few things, you know, it cleans up the rest. You know, there are some moves you make, they're worth 10 points. Some move you make, you feel like you take 3 steps back. Some move you make 1 point. Some things you understand, it's like 100 points for this one understanding. And this is why I say that in ordinary life, in real time, according to many people, you may take quite a long time to process the stuff that your mind brings up and you believe. It may take generations, lifetimes for some people. We say we've been in this journey of existence many times, many bodies. That's one way of looking at it. But it can certainly take a good time processing the stuff that we have imbibed, which are in a way like psychic debris. You see? But in your satsang, just by being quiet and paying attention to yourself, all that gets processed automatically in compressed time like this. It's like washing your jeans by hand. When you're working with this being, this person trying to become a better person, trying to get over this thing, trying to change yourself. It's like washing your jeans by hand. When you understand what you are, it's like throwing everything into the laundry. Automatic washing machine. You happen like this.
Well, you say like the way you got that, like the quality of a man can change so much. Putting that in.
Oh yes,
because in everyday life, from certain qualities I've seen in myself and me, really struggle to change. I've changed it. It took me about 10 years.
Yes,
I've really struggled for it. Well, it's one move, so many qualities can change in a minute.
Yes, because basically you're trying to change a concept about a self, which itself is a concept.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're trying to work on a self, changing the concept of a self, which itself is a concept. So, you see the struggle already. I used to say, How do you heal a ghost with anorexia? How do you give medicine to a ghost with anorexia? You're trying, the ghost is, look, I'm so slim. You do all this exercise, all this medicine to cure that which doesn't exist. But somehow we can't really embrace that somehow, because it feels like, but I do exist. And what does it mean, I exist, you see? It's subtle, but I would like to take a few minutes to try and tackle it with you, because I'm speaking a bit, you know? because sometimes you matter here, you don't exist, and it sounds very dismissive and so on. I don't mean it like this. You can say you do exist in the form of your ideas about yourself, but it's a very limited existence. You see? Because even if you say something doesn't exist in a way, it's only in comparison to what to do exist. It's only because you know about existence you can think about non-existence. So they kind of work together like this. So I don't want to make the kind of spiritual cliche, oh, it doesn't exist. What it means, it doesn't exist. It means that in your mind, you think that it is like an unchanging fact, who you are as a person. But more, it is like an ever-changing self-portrait. It's not fixed at all. Every moment you are different and fresh. The only thing that makes you feel that you're consistently the same is memory. And one more thing, because the identity you wear as a person is rooted in the beingness itself. And it's the beingness that is real. But the becomingness you are focused on. I want to say it another way. The reality of the ego is only standing on the reality of the self. Because the ego cannot exist without the self. Actually, what you're in love with is yourself. But who you think you are is your ego. We don't like to say that with words, but that's what we are behaving. That you are you're this body, and you are your conditioning. We are what we believe, what your parents told you, where you grew up, you know, what you're used to eating, all this makes you. In a way, it is true. But what you are is you are the consciousness that has adopted the mind and the body identity and the conditioning and education that arose with that identification and take that to be yourself. But because all those things I've mentioned, they're fluid and they're always changing. It's always changing. You see? So you're more like a verb than a noun. You see, you're not fixed. So what makes you think you're fixed? You're fixed because the beingness is more stable. That's the part of yourself that is observing everything. Initially, actively, you're actively observing, and then gradually you come to be passively observing, meaning that without effort you know that you are the awareness in which life is announcing itself to you. You understand? Life is reporting through your senses, through the mind, somehow, because without you to say that it is, it doesn't exist, has no registration. I want to show you, this is why I said that how important you are the center of your world. And that's even from a personal perspective. The world that we are experiencing is through our conditioning and your projection. That's the world we are tasting. They say, you know, when you burp, it smells like what you've eaten, isn't it? So whatever concepts you've taken in, that's what you believe, and that's what your life would be, and what you believe in it. Where to go with all of this? Something quietly lets go of all of carrying and associating all these concepts, carrying this folder. It just relaxes. And it's not holding on to any residential concept. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? It means that you don't have any favorites. Okay? No favorite concepts. Okay, some we are accustomed to, and you can say superficially you have favorite concepts. Okay? But intimately and essentially you're not bound with any concept. It means that you can let go of them. It's like the example we were giving about the football match. Momentarily, I'm identifying with, you know, Ghana. Yeah, Ghana to win. Yeah. But if I took it too seriously, my pain will be corresponding to the intensity of my identification. You see? But if you take it playfully, then you feel a little ouch. Oh, but then next minute, you know, you can go and have a patty and, you know, have a cocoa bread and a cup of tea and you forget all about it. But if you're deeply identified with any concept, then you have to suffer that concept. we're just looking at things, you know, as how these forces have worked and operated within our life. They don't have independent power. You see, a thought cannot think itself. It simply arises, and something gravitates towards this thought as a possible suggestion, and then embraces the thought, because I like this thought, and so that thought becomes part of your family, your conceptual family, isn't it? And then something gets constructed with that, another thought comes, and the sense of yourself grows. It's just for us to understand this, because if you understand it correctly, then somehow you can disengage. You can disengage, you can enjoy, but you can also leave. This is important, that you may enjoy, you can experience, you can taste, but you must also be able to leave things. You have all this traffic of concepts floating around in your head, but you must also be able to bring everything to silence. You have this power. Can you imagine? All the sirens are going off in your head and there's nothing you can do about it. So what do? You jump off a bridge because you don't have another option. You don't know. In satsang, you learn to bring everything back to silence. How you do it? By not identifying as this thing is happening to me and going into all of this drama. It's simply recognizing that, wait a minute, it's somehow, this is all just a movement occurring spontaneously, no? Even the most virile concept about me, maybe a concept like the fear of rejection, very strong concept, based upon identity. No? But when that snake bites you, where will you go? You have to be able to take that also back to emptiness. You can do it. When I say take it to emptiness, you understand what I mean by this. How are you going to go back to emptiness? You have to see that you never left emptiness. There's no you to leave it or return to emptiness. What leaves or comes back to the emptiness is only the attention. And the attention is such a potent instrument of ours that we call it I. You call your attention you. So when the attention goes, you say, I go. But the attention goes. And you are the witness of attention. It's subtle. But the minute we see this clearly again, you're out of the trap of attention. It's amazing. This is how the biggest battles are fought here. The biggest battles are not out there, not here. Just seeing. And this is what was the greatness of the sages. They were contemplating these things. So a thought pops up, and it was observed, see that what real power does it have? Because if a thought has real power independent of me, then that thought must have the same power in everybody. Can you see what I'm saying? If a thought had autonomy, if a thought had its own independent power, it means that that thought, anybody who had that thought will suffer exactly the same way. But some people, this thought, oh my God, you give this man a peacock feather and oh my God, oh no, don't touch me, no. Another one, what he does, he stick it between his ears and he's had a beautiful day. Has he got anything to do with the peacock feather? You see, it's just in the mind, are we taking these things? You just need to pointing it out. Hold on to your being. What do you mean? What is your being? Even we don't have to explain. You explain just becomes too much trouble. It's an intuitive thing. First say, hold on to your silence, and you let your mind turn it into a technique. You're in trouble. It has to be an intuitive thing, something, a deeper knowledge and awareness understands this. And it simply takes place. How? No technique. It's just simply take place. But if you identify only as flesh and blood, then you have to do flesh and blood work. If you identify as consciousness, you simply understand, and a response happens spontaneously. And so in a sense, we have a kind of option where you place your identity, where you place your attention. Then there's a stage beyond all of that, where attention, inattention doesn't matter at all. It doesn't exist. It only exists in the mind and the consciousness. To be still or not to be still doesn't mean nothing at all. To be awake or not awake doesn't mean anything at all. Nothing means anything at all. This is the most holy, the most high state. So where is that state now? Is there a state living by itself waiting to be discovered somewhere? Obviously it's just all that is happening is somehow something is peeling away what appears to hide. Yeah? And I said appears to hide because the absolute cannot be hidden. From who? From what? It's only hidden as long as there's a belief that you are an object. Then it can be hide and seek. When this idea is exposed, then one finds that there's nothing to do, there's nothing I have to do, not me as a doer. But nevertheless, activities are happening, breath is happening, taste is happening, joy is happening. All these can be happening. But guess what? They're not deeply significant. At the moment, they seem deeply consequential. Some thought, oh my God, you know, your universe is crashed because of a thought. And the belief in the thought. Not because of the thought, but the belief and the identification with the thought. At the moment we're talking about these things, there will come a time when you won't talk about these things. No need. Sometimes I start to, I'm on a roll with this thing. And it's like making available all that is here. That's it. And there's a sort of joy in that. Because when I feel your space, it's like I'm speaking to your space. And then sometimes I feel your space. And when I feel the space, I don't have to ask if you understand or not. Because I know understanding on some level has occurred. The purest understanding, not intellectual understanding, not information, not a passing of information, an intuition, an intuitive communion. And the outcome of it is just this uninterrupted space. I know you're home. Not to show you home, you're home. Hmm.